Hello and welcome to the post show for season two of Unquiet Blood. I am Mac Beauvais and I was the GM for this season. And I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves real quick so you have an accounting of all the voices in the room. Let's start with Jay.
Hi, y'all. Jay Holtham here. I played Luke in this season of Unquiet Blood.
Hello, Saint here, and I played Dia this season.
I am Pooja, and I played Isha.
I'm Michelle Otis, and I played Maria.
And Wes.
Hi, I'm Wes, and I played John.
Yes, you guys did. I'm still reeling from the finale. You guys really surprised me. You actually all surprised me very much this season, which was a lot of fun, but also really, really kept me on my toes. Especially where combat is concerned. So there, I had a lot of setups for where combat could have happened, and you guys sidestepped almost all of it.
There like one really big fight that you were shocked that we missed?
I don't think there was anything I was really like shocked by, but I didn't think you guys were going to be friends with the werewolves. Just because everybody was being really grumpy about them in your discussions about like, how do we manage these werewolves? What do we do? How do we take them out? And then you're like, actually, we're going to befriend them.
Well, we saw we were outnumbered and outgunned. And we were like, fighting them, not such a good idea.
I wanted you guys to be able to use them, but I also wanted it to be like, if you wanted to fight them, you could also do that. You know, and I guess the biggest thing for me was that once you got the information from Mr. Store on which, you know, on what he wanted you to do, it kind of set up like, all right, are you guys going to go against the Camarilla? Are you going to go against the werewolves? Like, where are you going to go with this? And I really wasn't sure which direction y'all would pick.
Yeah. I mean, my inclination is always go against the bosses and, you know, unite the downtrodden and the working classes together to rise up and seize the means of production. So that's I'm generally going to push for that.
It's pretty great. I liked that there were business opportunities to be had. Isha won't really come into her own until the 80s, I think. She's just waiting for corporate culture to catch up with her.
Yeah. So how was it for all of you playing with, we had a mix of new cast members and a mix of first season cast members. So that was a interesting blend, but it feels like everybody, that it all worked together very well.
I think it did. Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I love playing this character. He's one of my favorite characters to get into. But let's face it, when it comes to shows and, you know, any group, rock bands, whatever, there has to be a good amount of chemistry to be able to pull it off. And I feel like this is because, I mean, we did. I knew it was going to work out fine because we did Blades of Eversync. And I kind of knew that we had the chemistry with that. So I knew that would hold over. But just seeing us all six of us gel together was nice. It was good to know, like, okay, cool. We've got the right mix of secret herbs and spices. So
yeah, I'll have to co-sign on that as the newbie here, and this is my only second show with you all. And I definitely started out being like, oh, okay, we were magic, now vampires. Can I switch? Yes. It's like, is there more skill here? Is there more, you know, juice here? And you got, I think just with this group, you allowed me to bloom more as a player. And I felt like I was able to push kind of like some of the bounds of my creativity in ways that I haven't been able to do before, even with previous games. So thank you for taking me on. And I had a great time.
Oh my God, Saint, I have to compliment you on pushing the bounds of your creativity, because you've had me in stitches on so many occasions. Just some of the stuff you've had your character do or say or whatever. I mean, I have to like go off mic because I'm laughing so hard.
I honestly thought the werewolf thing was going to just turn into horrific, horrific thing. I mean, it was bad enough, but I thought for sure that like we were going to see smoke coming up from Griffith Park. It's like, yeah. Oh God, no.
Save that. Save it.
It was so good. I love the choices that you were making, like throughout the whole campaign. Was just every time, like it was something outside the box, like really new and super fun to listen to.
Thank you.
Yeah, you all same. Really worked well on doing stuff outside of the box, I think. And like I said, it really kept me on my toes this whole time.
I don't know what it was like for Michelle, but I really felt like, okay, what would John have been like 40 years in the past? Because this is not the John that was in season one, you know, who is kind of not doing cocaine and figuring out who they are and everything else. This was a completely different person. And so I tried very hard to make John the same, but different enough that you could see where growth had happened between the 70s and 2018 or whenever we recorded the first season.
Yeah, I think that same thing for Maria. It's she's in the 21st century. She's a little more evolved, especially when it comes to being a consensualist. And in, you know, the 70s, it was kind of like, well, and consent was implied, you know, but she, you know, she's still, I don't think had quite grown into herself, as much as she does later. So it was nice kind of playing that learning about herself type thing. I have no words. I don't know.
And you guys know this, but for the audience at home, store is Norwegian for big. So you guys were sent out by Mr. Big, who was the prince of the city. And I really didn't know if you were going to do tasks for this character or if you were going to try and take him down. But I expected him to come back and be in the series again, but you all had werewolves just chew through them.
That's well, right, we
technically,
did.
Technically, he did quote unquote die off, you know, if we're talking movie terms, off screen. So it could have been that the werewolves thought they killed him, but he really ran away. That's or true. Whatever. It is open. It is
yeah, open-ended. You never know.
He found his way to a Fjord and is just waiting.
I have to say, Mac, that as a GM, you really, yeah, we threw you a lot of curveballs, yeah. But you never would have known it because you made it seem like, yeah, this was totally what I planned to have happen this whole time. You know, I mean, to anybody listening, they never would have known we were throwing you curveball after curveball after curveball. You handled it very gracefully. Yes.
Yes,
yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, after season one, I was like, I'm just going to plan the loosest, most easygoing story that I can so that I could be as flexible as possible. I never wanted anybody to feel railroaded. And like I said, it was really interesting that combat was mostly avoided. You know, there were definitely chances where it could have come up. I also thought that in the sewers, there was going to be a good chance that you were going to have it out with some of the Nosferatu, and that didn't happen. And that was really interesting.
Give them a compliment on the coloring of their suit and you're good to go.
Yeah. Pretty much. Exactly.
Well, and there was a chance to take out Raina earlier in the story as well.
Oh, yeah.
And she got chased off by pigeons shitting on her. So, that's right. Like, there's no way as a GM I could have planned for that.
Yes, but let's also note that I did try to take out Raina earlier. It just did not work very well.
Made us gun shy, I think.
I think we all know that, you know, I would rather the roles work when the big finale comes around than when we're...
Yes.
And it really did. You guys rolled like monsters on the final fight.
Right. Yeah, it went really... That fight went really well. You know, and I'm going to curse myself for third season, but I think that, you know, we've been lucky with the big boss fights. Because I know you weren't expecting us to get rid of Isabeau.
I wasn't sure. Isabeau was a wrench that I was like, I'm just going to throw this in. I honestly didn't know if she was going to make an appearance this season or not. And there was just this opening with John. And I was like, here's a wrench. Do something with it.
Good.
And I have to say, one of the things like I really loved at the end of the finale, when you basically gave Isabeau the Nosferatu and then bringing that back to season one, where she's using them as her henchmen. And I was like, awesome. This is such a great Easter egg that I've like obviously ruined for everyone. But whatever. Like, don't listen to this before you listen to the seasons.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll put a spoiler warning at the beginning.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was just like, oh my God, this is brilliant. And this makes a lot of sense of where she had sort of a power base and where she was able to go for the first season, you know, since that was later.
Yeah, I think that's it's gonna be weird that we prequeled the second season, and then third season we're going to do something completely different that I'm not going to spoil for the dear listeners. But yeah, I didn't even think about that. That actually works out really well. I love Easter eggs. I think they're some of the best things, as long as it's not just like we're hitting you over the head with nostalgia for 2 hours. I'm not thinking of any particular movie when I said that, but you know, little Easter eggs are fun. They're definitely a lot of fun. So
did you all have like a favorite moment from this season?
I mean, there was so much that I liked. I did like the bit where I drank the believer.
True believer. Yeah, that was so good.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I have to say, Jay, that I loved how you played Luke Rage, because he's so punk rock and you just like, you like lived it, you know? I absolutely loved that.
It's funny. In a lot of games, I wind up playing the sort of voice of reason, or at least like the most cautious person. And this was definitely a time where I was like, I'm just gonna do the dumb thing at every turn.
Yes, we loved every sudden punch. So refreshing.
I think my favorite thing was probably Dia and Tyler the Werewolf.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was great.
I think like my headcanon is definitely that like you now have a himbo boyfriend.
Yes, can we bring him back?
He lets you cut out pieces of his organs to see how fast they regenerate.
Oh, that works so perfect.
That's such a high to give her. That's like, could you imagine how, I mean, cocaine is one thing, but werewolf organs? I mean, we'd have to peel her off the ceiling.
Man, I mean, I started on the hard stuff, John. That was my
favorite part, is getting you as high as possible in that first episode. That was a lot of fun.
I was so...
Watching you do as much cocaine as possible, so...
I, you know, I have to say, like, it was a little intimidating, like, when it first happened. I was like, oh, I'm already playing, like, I don't even know what my baseline is for the character. And then, oh my gosh, I'm altered already. But that just gave me, I think, a jump start into, like, oh yeah, let's figure out who she is. So I liked that challenge, and thank you for presenting it. And I did some research into, like, reading research into the effects for next time. not promise. You know, whatever. Yeah, research.
Yeah.
I was going to say, one of my favorite things is that John gives zero fucks about who he insults and pisses off. Yep. As long as he gets his way.
He's like, yeah.
Yep.
The Renfield. So
yeah, great. It's funny. The Renfield. Like, the Renfield. Whatever, Renfield. But I don't know why. I just, when I get into the character, I just have a lot of fun with being able to say things that none of us would ever say right in front of someone, because John's old. He's 1,056. He's an old vampire. And old people don't give a fuck. They really don't.
When you talk to no filter grandpa.
Yeah. When you get to 80 or 90 years old, you're not going to sit there and try to be diplomatic about things.
You guys gave me so many gifts this season, though. Although I have to thank Pooja for giving me one of the biggest gifts, which was Coyote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
because I'm like, oh, you're going to give me this NPC who's wonderful, and now I'm going to just run with it. And that character was a lot of fun. And I think actually my favorite part of this season relates to that. And it was the I'll play you for it challenge that Isha is playing pool against Coyote for information.
Yeah, I love the interactions between Isha and Coyote. I think that, you know, they're just like fraught with that little bit of tension, you know, and it's just enough, and you still want to know what's going to happen next. It's just fun.
Yeah, the way it played out just felt cinematic, like naturally. And with that pool sequence, I thought that was really masterfully done, Mac. That was
great. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, it's really fun because I play with the rules very loose, as anybody who's played Vampire will know from listening to this.
It's really nice the way that you like, it's like, okay, well, roll when it's important and we're going to gloss over some of this other stuff, because Vampire can get a little bogged down in the minutiae of that. So it was nice to be able to keep the story going.
I think overall that the season went really well. And I'm actually, you know, at the end of each season of anything that we do, I always think like, wow, I can't wait to get back to these characters. And that is very true with Unquiet Blood. So, you know, I'm excited for it. I'm obviously it's going to be a little while before we record it, but it's going to be interesting to talk about what the next season's going to be like, and, you know, how these characters are going to evolve. I want to see what Luke Rage,
yeah,
how he's different in 40 years.
Oh, you know? Yeah. You and me both. Oh, it'll be a mess.
Like, I just want to shout out one thing before I guess we
wrap it up.
That Michelle, when you went in to like talk to Raina at the bar, Saint was mentioning like how the pool game felt cinematic, and that also to me felt so cinematic. You came in and that, like, your poise and your bluster and like how you were able to manipulate both her and Gladys, and it was so cool to like watch you do your Maria thing. Just wrap people right around her little finger, and I loved it so much.
That was actually, I think, my biggest challenge for GMing this season, was the conversation that Maria has with Raina, because you were doing so well and rolling so well that it was making it very hard for me to not just give away a like end game kind of thing.
Right.
That was a very nearly game breaking conversation, which is impressive, because I was scrambling in my head to be like, okay, I have to give her information, but I don't want to ruin the rest of the game by being like, here's everything. You were amazing. So here you go. You're the GM now. Cause it was really impressive.
Oh, thanks guys. It was fun. I love Maria as a character. She's super fun to play. She's so severe and yet not severe at the same time, you know? So, yeah, so I enjoy playing her. And Pooja, I have to say, I love how creatively you would use the animals.
Yes.
Because it wasn't in ways you ever expected, you know. You'd expect, oh, use them in a swarm of some sort. Or, you know, no.
Bird poop.
Bird poop. Chew through the wires, you know.
It was actually, the book gave me the idea, because one of the things it says about calling animals is that it's more difficult. And a lot of times if you try to get them to go against their nature, they won't do stuff.
Mm, yeah.
So I was like, oh, let me play off this idea and like, what is the nature of each of these animals?
Super yeah. smart. That works super well, smart.
Pigeons poop. That's what they do.
That is their nature.
So before we go, is there any wishes for the next season of Unquiet Blood? Something that you guys would really love to see or do as your characters?
Hmm. Well, I'll take inspiration from what Pooja said. I definitely want to integrate more with my werewolf bow. however, yeah, and I'm curious to like, okay, so I mean, I've seen Underworld, the third one, and they have a hybrid werewolf vampire creature. It mm-hmm. looks so cool. I know it's really stupid that I brought up that as my example, but I'm inspired. I don't see why
that would be, that's not sad at all.
It was a terrible film. It was terrible.
Hey, it was terrible in a great way.
It was terribly fun.
True. Terribly fun indeed, except for that one horribly long sex scene. I don't know if you guys remember that. Traumatic for me. Anyway. I want to give that scene
props for showing him taking off all those layers of leather that she had on.
That's true. I think I would have appreciated more if I hadn't been seeing the movie with my dad.
My dad was
in four rooms with my grandfather.
The mistakes we make. Anyway, yeah. I'm really into seeing some cool hybrid stuff in the future.
I think for me, I want to see if John regresses at all being around Luke again.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've gotten to the point San Diego is stable and we're dealing with whatever's going on in Los Angeles. Because when we ended season one, we knew that there was a power struggle in Los Angeles coming our way where they wanted to basically control us. And so it'll be interesting to see, number one, catching up with vampires that we haven't been around for a while, forever, however long we hung out for, you know, and whether or not John regresses into a bit of mania when, you know, Luke shows up. And because I feel like the two of them are alike in a lot of ways when it comes to our vices. So mm-hmm. I think we kind of feed off of each other's energy in that way. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I would like to party much, much, much more. I feel like Luke did, like, I got to rage, which was great. But I would like to party a real hardcore. And if that means spending more time with Dia and her werewolf, because I think the werewolves are fun to party with, I am down with that. I am down to clown.
I think having taken part now in two coups.
When did vampire get so political?
I know, right? I think that wherever, whatever city it takes place in, just our reputation preceding us, and having to deal with that because other kindred may not be appreciative of the fact that
we keep fucking shit up.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that sort of intrigue.
Very cool.
I've got two more criminal contacts.
Yeah, what is your porn empire like 40 years later? That's what I want. Oh yeah.
I mean, the collapse of porn is the collapse of porn. Like, you can't retcon something that big out of history, I feel like.
No.
But I think I would like to see, like, I'm interested to think about and like look into how Isha branched out and how her predatory nature like comes, like she grows more into that. Because one of the fun things for me in this season was that she's a predator and she wants to be a badass, but she was made like 8 years ago. And so there were all these times when it was like, cool, put up the good front and then get undercut, which I loved. But once she has some time to grow into her skin, I want to see like where that takes her.
Awesome. Cool. Well, unless there's anything else, I think that we had a pretty successful season two, and I'm looking forward to season three.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
Me sure. too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. What a great job.
If people want to hear more about these characters or the world that that we're playing in, and like get some insights into what Mac was thinking and how she did world building, or what, you know, say song playlist Luke Rage listens to, that there's a lot of additional content for patrons. So check out the 12 Sided Patreon, and you can get information and some cool extras, not only for Unquiet Blood, but also for our other campaigns.
You are very right, and I appreciate you bringing that up. We definitely have a ton of stuff. Like, I'm recording John's been around for a long time, and so I thought it'd be fun to record little 10-minute snippets of him talking about historical moments that he was a part of, or just, you know, his past, because that's a lot of great things to kind of fill in. And I've already done the first one. And I'd also kind of like to see what Echo's playlist would be of, like, you know, Nanobot Electronica, which I'm sure would be really interesting. So, yeah, definitely check out all of that stuff. And again, Mac, you did great. We really appreciate it. And we're excited. And everyone who listened, thank you so much for listening. We do this because we have fun and we want to entertain people. So,
yeah. So we'll catch y'all on our next campaign.
Yep. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.